Take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel in chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, and we'll look at verses 30 through 33 again this evening. This is a section, these verses, that God continues to remind them of Israel's history. And it was a history of rebellion and disobedience, a history of going away from God, of forsaking God and turning to idols. And we now came to these verses 30 through 33, and it's talking to the present generation, those who are presently alive, those who are alive in Ezekiel's generation. And in the two verses that we looked at last week, verses 30 and 31, we see that they were not to be following in the sins of their parents, in the sins of their fathers, those previous generations who had gone astray, who had been rebellious and disobedient to God. They were not to follow in their paths. Their parents had, as the Word of God says, corrupted themselves, even to the point of offering their children as sacrifices. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. It mirrors what Americans have been doing for 50 plus years in serving self, and self is an idol, and in self-serving, my body, my choice, they say, and they sacrifice their children. To their idol of self. Just as the generations before Ezekiel's generation, and even as Ezekiel's generation was guilty of as well. And they expected that God was going to hear them when they called. Just as the elders had come to Ezekiel and expected that God was going to speak to them. They were going to hear a word from God through the mouth of Ezekiel. God told Ezekiel, you tell him, you come to inquire of me? Basically, in essence, saying, inquire of your idols, of your gods. Don't inquire of me. I'll not hear, I'll not give an answer, he said. And so, to hear, they were expecting to hear from God. And he said, he would not hear. He would not hear. Let's read verses 30 through 33, or through 32 again this evening. This evening we'll be dealing primarily with verse 32, "Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers? And commit ye whoredom after their abominations? For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you." Now verse 32. "And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone." That is what he said they were saying. That's what they were saying. They were desiring, not just desiring, but they were desiring and following after the heathen, after the families of the countries that surrounded them, the countries who served idols, who served wood and stone. Don't you know that following after the wicked ways of the world separates from God? It separates you from God. And He will not hear. He will not be inquired of. And neither will He give an answer in return. They wanted to do as their neighbors did, as the heathen did. They looked to the heathen. They looked to the inhabitants of the land that they didn't drive out, and they wanted to be like them. They wanted to serve their gods and worship their gods. While they're serving those gods, why can't we? Let us do it. They were not looking to how God had led them and how God had prospered them, how God had given them literally a land flowing with milk and honey, vineyards which they did not plant, fields which they did not sow. God had given them a great bounty, a great blessing. And they refused to follow the Lord. They let their eyes look to the ways of the world and the things of the world. They wanted to be like the nations round about them. They wanted to be like the heathen. Why, they don't do so bad. They do fairly well. Do they not? Is that not like how many of us think tonight? Many of God's people that are living in the world world today. Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah in chapter 9. And look with me. Well, let's begin with verse 25. Verse 25 says, and they took strong cities and a fat land. Notice that. This is the land they took. The Israelites took a fat land and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. They went into a land, houses which they did not build, houses that were full of goods which they did not bring into those houses. Wells that were already dug, they did not dig them. The same with vineyards and olive yards, fruit trees. In abundance. It truly was a land flowing with milk and honey. And it was just there for the taking. It was all there. And they went in and they took it and they filled themselves and were full. Book of Deuteronomy. God had told them that they were to rehearse all the ways of God and all the ways that God had led and all the things that God had done for them through the wilderness and how that God had brought them into the land and given them that land, lest when they were in the land, they become full. And they forgot God. They were full. Unless you forget me, the Lord thy God, which has delivered you, the Lord thy God, which has saved you. And they forgot him. Look at verse 26. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets, which testified against them, to turn them to thee. He sent his prophets to preach against their sin and to turn them back to God. And they wrought great provocations. They did not turn back to God. They continued on in provoking God and provoking God greatly. Think of the chapter in Ezekiel that we went through, chapter 8. And he'd taken Ezekiel to the holy city, the city Jerusalem, to the temple. And he showed him great abominations. And he said, Ezekiel, there's more great abominations. And he showed him more great abominations. And again, he said, in Ezekiel, there's more great abominations. And he showed him more great abominations. All these were ways in which they provoked the Lord. They're gone. The book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel in chapter 36. In verse 20, where we read, And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of His land. These people who do not look like people of the Lord, whom God has driven out of the land, cast them out of His land, and they've gone into the, had to go into the lands of the heathen, which they desired to be like. And it said, these are the children of the Lord. These are the people of the Lord. And God says, you blaspheme my name. What's that say about you and I? When we fail to display in our life the Lord Jesus Christ, our life is to manifest Christ, that we are by Christ in God. We're His. What's it say when a child of God, a true child of God, is suffering chastisement, the chastisement of God upon his life for sin that he has not confessed, because he's not walking in the right ways, in the right path, and he's suffering chastisement of the Lord, and he's a Christian. The only evidence that he's a Christian is because he's suffering the chastisement of God. But then so, sinning so greatly that we bring the chastisement of the Lord upon us, we're blaspheming the name of the Lord. As Hebrews chapter 10 says, we trample underfoot the blood of Christ. When we sin willfully, Ezekiel's generation, because of their sin, because of their disobedience, because of their rebellion, they were separated from God. They were separated from God, just as those heathen were. Those heathen were separated from God. They didn't like God. They didn't retain God in their thoughts. They were worshiping gods which are not gods at all. They're wood and stone. God said, so in desiring to be like the heathen round about them, they became just as the heathen, separated from God. And they were cast out to dwell. You want to be like them? You go live with them. You go dwell with them. And when they got tired of the oppression that they would be under, when they would call out to Him, He would not hear. He would not answer them. Go back to a couple verses that we closed out with last week. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 1, and verse 27. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 27 and 28. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me. When I bring my judgment upon them, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall see me early, but they shall not find me. He won't be found of them. They're suffering because of their disobedience. Back to the Psalms. Chapter 66, verse 18. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If there's sin in my heart, if I allow sin to dwell there, abide there, I don't confess it. I don't confess it to the Lord and ask His forgiveness and seek to put it away. He will not hear me. The verse tonight, two verses that we want to look at tonight found in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah in chapter 59. Isaiah 59 and verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with the Lord. There's nothing wrong with the Almighty of the earth, of heaven and earth, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty. He didn't grow tired. He didn't grow sleepy. He don't get dim of hearing. He don't get dim of eyesight. He doesn't lack in any of His power. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Sin separates from God. You see, the heathen are separated from God because they never repent. They will not repent of their sin. They will not come to Him that they might have life. Don't we realize that? When we desire to be like the world, when we desire to take to ourselves the things of the world and be like them, don't we realize that they are separated from the world and our sin, our being like them, will separate us from God so that He will not hear us when we call unto Him? Following after the world arouses God's displeasure and brings condemnation. Their desire for the things of the world goes unfulfilled. Their desire and lust will never be satisfied. God's condemnation and judgment would rest upon them. And we are to guard. We are to guard against such behavior. We're to guard against such desires. We're to guard against following after those ways. going back to the thought following after the world arouses God's displeasure. It arouses His anger, just as it did these Israelites. And it brings condemnation. It brings judgment. It brings chastisement to His people. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John in chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't be loving the things of the world and loving the world and be manifesting the love of God. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father. It's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, he that follows in the path of God, doing that which is pleasing to God, walking in the way that God has ordained that he should walk, abideth forever. You see, to walk in sin and disobedience, rebellion to God, brings the judgment of God. It arouses His displeasure, His anger. The book of Matthew, book of Matthew chapter 16. In verse 26. Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world? You get all the things that you see of the world having that you desire to have. You get all those things. And you become like the world. What's a man profit? What's he gain? Lose his own soul. That's eternal. Don't we understand that the things of this world, the things of life, are temporal, are temporary, just as we read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17? Those things pass away. They're not going to endure forever. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You can't give all the gold and silver of the world. You can't give in exchange for your soul. It takes faith. Faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us in the book of Luke in chapter 21. The book of Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. He tells us, and to take heed. Luke 21:34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged, be weighted down with surfeiting. That is giddiness. It is like you had vertigo and you're stumbling around, only it's not due to vertigo in the head, it's due to overdrinking. Intoxication, which is drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unaware. That what day? The day of the Lord. You see, Christians are not to be overcharged, weighted down with these things. He tells us in the next verse, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore. That's what we're to be doing. We're to be expecting the Lord's return right now. What if the Lord comes? What if the Lord comes when you're in pursuit of the things of the world, and you're not walking pleasing to Him? Do we ever think about that when we walk in the paths of sin and disobedience? Catch us unawares, we'll be caught. We'll be caught by surprise. Our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, our God is coming to take us to Himself. Here's what we ought to be doing. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Notice verse 2, and be not conformed, be not fashioned to this world. Do not be fashioned after this world, but be ye transformed. That is a radical change. Just as the change of metamorphosis of a worm spinning a cocoon, and after a time that cocoon hatches out a beautiful butterfly. We're to be transformed like that. We're to be transformed as Christ was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, and His eternal glory shone forth. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, perfect will of God. That's what we ought to be seeking after. That's what we ought to be seeking for, not the things of the world. Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Verse 2, we're admonished here to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. We've died to those things of the world. And your life is hid with Christ in God. That's what we're to be manifesting. That's what we're to be displaying. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. Mortify, therefore. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. By the way, covetousness is idolatry. You're serving self when you're covetous of things. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. We provoked the displeasure of God. We provoked the anger of God. In the which he also walked. Sometimes. When ye lived in them. You see, he reminds us that before we were saved, before we were in Christ, with Christ in God, we did those things. We were of the world. We were the heathen. But now we're different. Now we're to be putting to death those desires and those passions. Well, we'll stop there tonight.